Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to what is being paid attention to, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio. Today is Friday, October the 16th at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our topic today is the many versions of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Normally, I break and go into some announcements and stuff, but I think I'm real excited about today. In my virtual studios with us is Dan Pruitt of Park Air Consultants. He was on our show about a month ago when we were talking about computers and using it as a metaphor for ADD. So I'm anxious to get into the show. So without further ado, welcome, Dan.
Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing excellent. I'm doing really good. I'm real excited about today's show. I've been looking forward to this for probably about a month, I think.
That's great.
I guess let me kind of frame this out for those that are listening. What was the impetus of this show is I had seen something that Dan had done in a presentation, and there's one slide, and it takes a look at ADD, the different types, inattentive, hyperactive, and combined, and takes a look at some symptoms, and being a kind of a logic-based, math, science-type guys, I like to see numbers, and he actually had some calculations that started to give a sense of the different versions of ADD. So, Dan, I guess let's do this. Why don't you just kind of talk about the slide, talk about the numbers, talk about what started this, and we'll just go from there.
Okay, great, Jeff. Now, this came from the looking at and the realization that there are two different ways of looking at treatment and about understanding ADHD and executive function and obsessive compulsive and the whole range of comorbid stuff. And it is that one way there is called splitters, being a splitter, splitting the information apart into its details. And the other one is being a lumper, where you sort of try and lump things together and try to make sense and patterns of it. And when you're looking at stuff as from our level, okay, of ADD coaches or people with ADD, you have to look at this from being a splitter point of view, that you cannot look at being ADHD. ADHD, the term ADHD is a lump, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They came
Absolutely.
From a lumper point of view. They have lumped together a list of characteristics in underneath one term. And when they were doing that, the medical doctors, they had a very important point. They're doing very important stuff with this term lumped together. But
yep.
As ADD coaches and people with ADHD, the term ADHD is pretty much useless.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then, and the slide you're talking about, it was one part of my presentation. This is where I mathematically proved it. Okay. And I'll describe the slide. It is that when you say, I have ADHD, what do you mean? That's my title of the slide. And the explanation is that when you are diagnosed with inattentive ADD, there are nine symptoms. There's a list of nine symptoms everybody knows, and you only need six of them.
Yep.
Which means mathematically that there are 84 different combinations of those symptoms that you can have and still qualify to be diagnosed as inattentive ADHD.
Just that type, right?
Of just that type,
yep.
Right. And then for the hyperactive ADHD, there's another nine characteristics, okay? Another 84 combinations, okay? But then you have the combined ADHD where there's 12 of the 18, same nine added together. There's a total of 18,564 different combinations.
Of just that type.
Of just ADHD that you can have. Which means you can have a stadium full of people.
What you're describing is just the symptoms. When you start to kind of consider like the intensity in which those symptoms may or may not manifest and the frequency
Absolutely.
In which they manifest, all of a sudden
Absolutely.
It starts going. And we haven't even talked about other possible coexisting things like Tourette's or dyslexia or whatever.
Absolutely. I mean, this is the math you're using for this is factorial. And when you start adding in all those other coexisting disorders, the number gets so large that it's not representable. You know, it's like 10 to you know, with numbers, you know.
It's like increasing at an increasing rate, as they say.
Absolutely. I mean, there is. So the point is that you have to deal with the details.
Absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
That is the intention of this. Is that when you're looking at, you have ADHD, you know, is that there's nothing to do with ADHD. There's something to do with time management and writing things down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the way that you write things down and the problems that you have writing things down, okay? Because depending on which one of these, you know, combinations that you have, you're going to have to approach writing things down for your time management in a different way, okay?
It's interesting because the way you're describing this kind of goes in with one of the philosophies I have in my practice, and actually just recently wrote a newsletter called the Science of Similar, and the gist of it is we're all different and the ADD is different, and the point for you to start at is not lumping, like you said, not trying to figure out how my ADD is like everybody else, but my philosophy is you realize that you might have ADD, but the place to begin to understand your version is actually start to understand how you're different from actually normative type descriptions or things that lump together, because it's understanding how you're different.
Mm-hmm.
It actually leads to how you work and something that you can begin to manage more effectively.
Exactly. When you are reading, if you have ADHD and you've been told and you suspect it and you're looking at all these websites, many of which have good information, and they're talking about ADHD and what to do with it, you have to have a critical eye when you're looking at it. You have to think, does that mean something to me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, as opposed to assuming they're saying ADHD, you do this, therefore I do it. You can't go there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because that is where you fail. Okay, is just to assume that what they're saying is correct. You have to consider what they're saying, if that fits your ADD and if that would be useful for you to do. Okay,
yeah.
That is the lesson from this.
Absolutely. One of my vernaculars, you go there, you take a look at it. If it's on the obvious list, pay attention. It might work, but if it doesn't, then you're going to need to pay attention to how you work to find out what's obvious.
Exactly.
Because we're all different, and your ADD is different. So tell us some more about this to give the listeners some thoughts around this. And do you have any just personal examples or things from coaching that kind of help frame this out for people?
Okay, absolutely. Because when I've been coaching for several years now, and I do a lot around time management. It seems that everybody walks in has something to do with time management. It's just sort of a general problem with everybody, and the way people deal with it is different. And that's where I learned this, is
mm-hmm.
that there is. I have just sort of give examples of a client. One client walking in here who is just very inattentive. You know, he is the wandering soul type of that doesn't have hyperactivity. Okay,
mm-hmm.
It really doesn't have it. It really is the ADHD inattentive time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and when you're talking with time management for him, you are dealing with helping him or her remember to do the time management, remember to write things down, remember to keep it in their life. You know, where do they do it? How do they run into it? What environmental things that they need to do to help trigger remembering to be able to interact with their time management system?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When you take a hyperactive person who comes in here, okay, into my which, you know, I sort of have an affinity to because I'm very hyperactive, is that you don't really you deal with it entirely different because hyperactive people are impatient.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that the issues that you're trying to deal with and be successful with him is not to remember to do it, because they usually do remember to do it. It's an idea they've gotten to it before. They just can't stay with it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that, you know, where an inattentive person, you're going to get it, they can start writing down, they can sort of play with it, they can stay there and write things down and analyze it. And a hyperactive person is just too impatient, that the way they write things down has to be quick, in and out. The system that they're using to do it has to get the information out of it rapidly, or they're not going to do it. It's just not going to stay there long enough to analyze, and slow down and pay attention.
So what I'm hearing is like an inattentive person has a hard time remembering to go do it, but once they get involved in it, then they can stay to it, whereas a hyperactive might remember to do it, but they can't stick with it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right.
Keep going.
And both of them are called ADD, and that is where you have to really deal with your details.
So you got to split it.
When you're approaching time management, you got to split it. You got to look at what your specific problems are.
You know, it's interesting because I can relate. I think I might have used this about a month ago, but as I've worked with people, and I think Dan, you talk about people being like, I think internal digital or external visual. I think
external
it is
external visual, right? Yeah.
Well, I've worked with some people in external visual, because even we're splitting that, internal digital, which might deal with a PDA or whatever. Because I'm like one of those people. I'm external visual. It drives me crazy to have 6 or 7 web browsers open because I have to toggle back and I need to spread it all out so I can kind of see it externally. But it's interesting because as I've worked with some people, some even the external visual people, as you describe it, what works for one. Like I've seen some where colors and bolding didn't really necessarily do a lot. They just had to see it. Where other people were very reliant on colors and bolding, and some were not so much reliant on the visual side of words and stuff, but they needed more graphics and more pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And again, when you start to say, "Hey, I'm visual." You know, you start splitting that up into how you can – different ways you can be visual. Again, we start getting into the concept of splitting again. We start talking about it. So exactly which version of this do you have? And it really gets broken down to be as individual as the person is. And in order to – as you say, it's like, you know, if you're going somewhere looking for solutions, if you know how you are or how – your own individual version of ADD, when you go out and you see solutions or like structures, if they will, if you see them, it's much easier to recognize which ones or where to start, which ones might work based off of how you know that you work or how you know your version of ADD.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. You have to just – part of this is not to not go looking. I mean, you have to take in information. You have to see what other people are doing. You have to let other people's imaginations and creativity give you ideas. Okay, of the various things to do. Okay, you know that is totally individual. But doesn't mean to not ask anybody else anything.
Yeah,
it's just that to be a critical eye. You know, just to you know, does that because you know there are only 18,000 and it's like you know that's 7 billion people. There are other people that are like you. Okay, parts of you. So there are going to be things that you find that one fits me. Okay, I'll tweak it just a little bit right here, and that one will be great for what I do. Okay, you know, so that you're not reinventing the wheel. I mean, that's really not what we're talking about.
Yeah, you just hit on something that I really like to emphasize. And a second ago, I don't remember the words you said, but it was something like, you need to go talk to people. You need to get ideas and kind of and be creative with them to come up with some stuff. And I guess I'd like to kind of highlight that just in coaching. In my vernacular, as I described, in order to figure out which version of ADD you have, it really involves what I call insightful thinking. There's actually a show that I did called Insightful Thinking, and there's some examples I use just I guess for those who haven't listened. If you take a look at like a hot dog, a carrot, an apple, and a cracker, if you take a look at all those, I mean, you can if you pay attention to it a certain way, you can tell that they're all food. And I would say, well, how do you figure that out? Well, I don't know. You just do, right? And you can kick it up a level like a pencil and a wheel and a hammer and eyeglasses and a sewing needle. Like, how are those all the same? It might not be obvious at first, but if you just kind of sit there and kind of insightfully think about it, you might realize that they're all tools.
Right.
And ADD coaching in general, as I described, is really not about methodical thinking where you walk in and, you know, I mean, hey, if you need to – methodical thinking, if you can't get up in the morning, you need to get an alarm clock. Well,
right.
It might work for some people, but insightful thinking is actually paying attention to what's going on and pay attention to how you work and getting insightful ideas to try to help find patterns to reveal how you are. So this concept of splitting really falls into that. And one of the key things that I think and the reason I wanted to highlight this is if you do have ADD and you are out, the key thing that you need to think about is as you brainstorm with people, because ultimately you're just trying to get insight in your own mind about what makes sense to you, and that is that you just need everybody else to help kick in ideas to help facilitate your insightful thinking. And the key is not to become attached or think that their way is your way or that you have to listen to them.
Right.
The key is to say, hey, listen, as I say, I want to think out loud. Give me your thoughts and ideas. Not that I'm going to use them, but I'm going to kind of mine those and see which ones make sense to myself and then use those maybe in a different way. But the idea is you kind of kick that off. And I think one of the – again, to highlight this, when I'm working as a coach, I do rely on insightful thinking. I'm looking for patterns. I'm looking for things that aren't labels. I'm really looking for to get some insight on how a person works. And, you know, to lift up the veil of coaching, sometimes it really is. I think you and I are trained and work with those who have attention deficit because we do have insight in what to look for, where differences might be. So for those out there that are listening to this, don't be overwhelmed by 9,000 different versions. You can figure those stuff out or at least hone in on it, but use insightful thinking. Listen to others' ideas, but don't take their ideas as you have to do it their way.
And that's a really good point, a really good phrase, because there are many, many people who think their way is the way. No. No.
Oh, yeah. There's a parable that I did I do this last time we talked about the innkeeper?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't hear it.
I like to do this to put this into a context, and it's a real simple story. Once upon a time, there's an innkeeper who's got an inn called the Silver Star Inn, and the innkeeper was unable to make ends meet. So tried as he could to make the place comfortable and reasonable in price, he just couldn't kind of pull it together. So he consulted a wise old sage. And the sage came in after listening to his tale and says, "Well, hey, the solution here is simple. You got to change the name of your inn. You got to change it to the Five Bells Inn and hang six bells at the entrance." And the innkeeper was like, "That's impossible. That's absurd. Everybody knows my inn. It's been in our family for generations." And the sage, "No, that's what you need to do." So the sage went off, and the innkeeper gave it a try. And as he changed the name and put the bells up, this is what he noticed. Every traveler would pass by the inn and venture in to point out the mistake, each believing that they were the only one that noticed it. Once they were inside, they were impressed by how cordial the place was, choosing to stay and refresh themselves, thereby giving the innkeeper the fortune that he had seeked so long. And the moral of the story is, there are few things the ego delights in more than correcting the mistake of others. And the reason I like that, I love that parable so much, mostly because it is so true that everybody's always trying to fix you or fix us. And the cool part about this parable is it's fixed by looking broken. In other words, if it didn't look broken, it wouldn't work.
Very, very good. Very good.
And rounding out in the conversations as you as an individual with AD has, and you're going out on that quest to knowledge, the important thing is to remember is that don't let everybody try to fix you because they might be fixed and they might break you in the process.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, because everybody has their filter. You know, these are people with the highest of intentions. You know?
They mean well.
Absolutely.
But
they see you, they lump, but also even if they're splitting, they see you through the filter of their eyes.
Absolutely.
And they don't really necessarily see all of you. They're seeing you as they see themselves. And are giving you something that is really best for them, not for you.
Absolutely. I tell you what, Dan, let's do this. I want to go to a commercial break for a second, but before we do that, can you let everybody know how they can reach you and get a hold of you if they've got any questions on some of the work you've done here or just some of your coaching in general?
Absolutely. I'm in the suburb of Atlanta, Georgia, called Marietta. We have a website called parkairconsultants.com. And through there, there's a contact us information page that has a huge amount of information about us and a lot of resources, too, for people to go to.
Excellent. Well, hang on. We'll be right back just after this break. Hang on.
This is Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. When you're stuck, what do you pay attention to? If you're paying attention to the same logic or level of thinking that created the problem, maybe you need to pay attention to something else. Dick Coaching excavates outcomes by paying attention to what you pay attention to. After all, if you're paying attention to the wrong thing, you're likely paying attention to the wrong solution. To learn more about finding your obvious solution, go to DickCoaching.com and download the free audio file, Finding the Obvious Solutions When They Aren't So Obvious. Don't delay, do it today.
If you have a topic that you want covered or question answered, just email us at info@digcoaching.com.
Be part of the show. Dial 646-652-4409. And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Attention Talk Radio with your host, Jeff Copper. Today in our studio, we've got Dan Pruitt, and we're talking about the many versions of attention deficit disorder. And, Dan, we got about 9 minutes left, but I got a person in the chat room who basically says, can we speak to more about ADD and comorbid conditions and how it can affect some of this?
Okay, absolutely. Let's go to another example about the going back to somebody trying to teach somebody time management that you run into, is that a person who has graphic motor problems, which is the ability to handwrite, okay, it's dysgraphia, is one of the high comorbid occurrences in ADHD. You know, because ADHD is much somewhere between 50 to 70% of people who have ADHD have something else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when this person come in and he has a graphic motor problem, he wants to write, but he doesn't know how to write, and that this is a historical problem since they were very young. So there is an inhibition to the ability to write. So when you try to teach him time management, if you don't recognize these other comorbid problems and have that person deal with that dysgraphia or the difficult with writing and overcome that either by training, you know, or whatever it would take, and using what's called an educational therapist, occupational therapist do some of this stuff. Without them dealing with that, when you're going to try and coach him and try and teach him how to do time management, you're going to be not understanding how to approach him. You know, why can you not write things down? You know, you sort of look at it, he's not paying attention. He's coming up with all these. How do you do pay attention more when he can't pay attention? He just gets there. He doesn't want to write it down because he has problems writing it down. It's difficult. You know, and he doesn't want to stay there. You know, that's an example of where you really have to look at the other comorbid problems that a person has. It's very important.
And take that into consideration.
Absolutely.
We have another question coming from the chat room. The chat room is more active today, and that is kids. I don't know. I'm presuming the parents. But the question is, as a parent, how do you go about trying to find out which version of ADD your child has? And it's interesting.
That's a very interesting question.
I have my thoughts on it. You speak to it and see. I mean, what advice would you give in that situation to a parent?
Okay, there are several things to do. Is the field of neuropsychology, or is the group of people who test the functioning of the brain, the neurology, the psychological neurology of the brain, and they are able to give you a full battery of tests, and they can break a lot of things out and find if it's learning disability or if it's obsessiveness or intentional problems.
Mm-hmm.
That's one way. Okay, just to go to the testing, to the medical, you know, psychological field. The other way is just to get involved, okay, to get involved with other people like yourself. Chad has a large network of support throughout the entire country. In almost every city, definitely every state, there are Chad support groups. There's a lot of online stuff. There's a lot of online support, direct one-on-one, that you can do. So that you talk about it. That if there's any one thing you have to do is you have to get engaged and talk to other people, one, to help you, because they don't have to be a professional, you know, with years and you know, psychological degrees, but they have to be able to be smart and be able to help you. You know, ADD coaching is one of them. Your sister, your parents, you know, somebody to help you talk about it. Your friend who, you know, has some idea, just to help you help spread it out.
Just to get involved. Yeah, what I'm hearing is go out and get information, open your mind, and watch the behavior of your son and kind of listen to these things and just start to see what makes some sense by trying to take a listen to what you're hearing and take a look at what does and doesn't work for your son. And
especially and as a parent, another thing I want to throw in there is follow your gut, okay? If it doesn't feel right, if it just doesn't sound right, because most parents' guts know if this the psychologist is telling them something right or if their friend is telling them something right. You have to honor that as a parent.
Okay? Absolutely, absolutely. One of the things that I would add to that is what I do is I have this thing I call it the interest model, which I actually have a big graphic and a big I've written 10 pages on how the thing works. But to oversimplify how I use it is I just kind of watch and make the assumption that kids are instinctive, that they're always take the path of least resistance. They're always finding it easier to pay attention to what they're interested in, and I kind of observe them. And then just kind of be curious about when things are working. I'll use an example. I have a 14-year-old son who doesn't have a learning disability or ADD or anything like that. But when it comes to studying, I realized he would struggle studying, and I was trying to not lump and think that he was just like I was, and he would have to study the same way I did. And I, for the last several years, I've just kind of watched him when he's taking some tests and just kind of observed. And it was interesting because about a year and a half ago, it struck me that he always does much better on tests when he's either teaching it to somebody or having a discussion group with it.
Yeah.
And I just kind of paused and began really curious about that, not trying to figure it out, but just kind of letting the answer kind of come to me. And it was surprising to me because as time went on, we started to realize he's very, very verbal. And when he's talking, he's actually kind of thinking and reasoning his way through, which I have, there's a feature of me that's a little bit back, but his is a little different. And I guess the moral of the story is we ended up getting some structures. Whenever it's exam time, he always gets some classes as the guy organizing the group study, or what he'll do is on purpose, he'll go find somebody who's struggling to tutor him. He might not have the answers, but he figures it out while he's talking to him. And
fantastic.
My situation is just my situation, but the point really is as a parent, and speaking to what Dan is, you go out and you get all that stuff, and that gut feeling that you have sometimes – you're around your child. You observe your child. If you can let go of how you think it's supposed to be done and you listen to your gut, sometimes, more often than not, your gut's telling you or pointing you really in the right direction. You just have to be curious and to kind of explore it and realize that, you know, your son's version of ADD might be, you know, the 19,000 one on the list. But watch him and listen to his behavior and actions, because if you get rid of the words – and you just pause and use insightful thinking, many times it will reveal a lot of clues and help, kind of help move you forward. So,
yeah, I think you said something very important, okay? It was that let go of how you think it should be done. I don't think I've heard anything more important said in a while.
Well, it's funny.
When you're talking to parents.
If you're looking at how you do it, you've actually shut off every other possibility when you're thinking about your child. It's when you let go of how you do it that you can actually, at that point in time, hear or pay attention to how they do it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The theme of the show.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So we got about 2 minutes to go. I got a couple callers online, but we don't have enough time to give them justice. I tell you what, let's do this. Dan, can you run through your stuff again so that they know how to get in contact with you or reach out to you if they're interested in coaching or just learning more from your side?
Okay, absolutely. I'll give you three websites this time if I want to blatantly advertise. ParkAirConsultants.com is the primary site. It's the clinic here in Marietta, Georgia, where we have occupational therapists and speech and language pathologists, counselors, educational therapists and neuropsychologists, tutors. I'm there as an ADD coach, career services. This is a group of people. There's 22 of us. We meet once a week on Wednesday, so we work as a team. We take a team approach to help our clients as a group. That's Park Air Consultants. My own personal website is Team Park Air Coaching, T-E-A-M, Park Air. That's my own personal, which is specifically about me as a coach. And then my wife and I have opened up a publishing company. We publish books now, ParkAirPress.com.
That's right. You got a new book,
and
that, right?
there are three very important books for the ADD community that would be useful for people to go see.
That's awesome. Awesome. Well, you're a busy guy. You got kind of a lot going on there.
Yeah.
We got about 30 seconds left, so I guess let me just start wrapping things up.
Okay.
And say, Dan, thank you very much for being on the show about a month ago and the show today. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I believe our listeners will as well. We've got some other shows that are coming up against, but we'll have to find some more topics and stuff to have you on.
Well,
I've always
thank you very
our
much
conversation. to be your insightful. So I appreciate it. And everybody out there, hit Attention Talk Radio for a schedule of upcoming shows.
Thank you very much, Jeff.
Take care.
Take care. Bye.